Class. Today we're going to be talking about the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And I want to pay close attention because we're going to find out the difference between this instance and with Miriam and Aaron revolting against Moses. It was more of an individual, it was more of a contained act of rebellion. And with this one, we call it a corporate rebellion because it dealt with a lot more people, or collective rebellion. And without further ado, we're going to turn to Numbers 16. I might have to read quite a bit to get us up to speed with this lesson here, because the scriptures going to identify exactly what happened for us. And we're going to see it in a more visible plan view of Korah's rebellion. Number 16, begin at verse 1. Just follow with me and pick up on some of these things as we go, because we're going to incorporate it with some notes that I have right out of the book that's going to bring out more understanding of this corporate rebellion, more understanding why not to group yourself with others that have no authority, that wants to correct authority. Numbers 1 says, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Well, what these were three men, and all came from the Levitical tribe. They were men whom God had used in the ministry of the people. So they were in the work of God. And you're going to find out that they separated themselves from Moses, and because they saw some things they thought Moses wasn't doing that was in line with their thinking. And they gathered themselves, the Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and the 250 of the what they call the men of renown of the congregation, famous, they said, in the congregation, men of renown. Famous mean, and renown mean people highly regarded them and respected them. And I must add this, and had some influence over the people. So, and sometimes influence can kind of gravitate among people when you have that type of status among a congregation, and when people respect your opinion. And that don't mean your opinion always right, but this is the state that they were in right here. And the third verse, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he had chosen, will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take ye censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord do choose, he shall be holy. And listen to this statement. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. Now, notice how Moses is handling this. We're going to go more in depth to this. But Moses handled this in a very typical way. And it was unusual how Moses handled this. And I wonder how we would have handled this if we was in Moses' position. It has something to do with your character. How you handle a situation. And sometimes God chooses men according to their character. And when your character pleases God, God knows how you're going to react under a certain situation. And that's why all of us can't be in certain position, because our character won't allow us to. My goodness. So your character has to be developed to be aligned with the will of God, aligned with God's thoughts and plans and God's work. And so it's very important how you develop your character in the scriptures, in God's way of thinking, in God's way of doing things. Okay, class? Verse 9. Seem it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. You see, you got to realize that all these people were leaders. They of the Levitical tribe. And being of the Levitical tribe, they did the service of the Lord. They handled the holy things of God. Now, they were separate from Aaron, because Aaron was the high priest at that particular time. And Aaron did the work inside the tabernacle. They worked outside the tabernacle. And because the priest was the only one able to do the work within the tabernacle, within the holies of holies. And so God has separated Aaron unto himself for this specific task, and he appointed him to this. And these men is challenging the position of Moses and that also of Aaron. Now, where was I, Claire? Yeah, 10th verse. And he had brought thee near unto him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And listen to this. And seeking ye the priesthood also? You want to take Moses' place within the tabernacle? It's enough God has... See, stay where God put you. You see, it wasn't enough that God had them serving with the things of God and the work of God. But now they wanted, Moses saying, you want to enter into an office that God didn't call you to? It's a dangerous thing to try to enter into an office that God hadn't ordained you to be in. And we see a lot of that today. A lot of times people think they're called to certain places and they try to function in an office that God had never ordained them to be. They think they are called to do certain things. But if you look at what happened here, you're going to find out Moses challenged them in their position of authority. Isn't this something? I'm going to read the 10th verse again. And he had brought thee near to him, and all the brethren, the sons of Levi, Levitical tribe, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? My goodness. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. My goodness. They're not showing much respect to Moses. Is it a small thing? You know what they're saying? You come to us. We're not coming to you. They're trying to cause Moses down off his position of authority as to say, you know more than us, Moses. You tell us to come up to you. Well, who you think you are? Well, really, one translation say they got beside themselves. I think that's the Message translation. You've gotten beside yourself. So they say, we will not come up. Is it a small thing, talking to Moses, that thou have brought us out of a land that flowed with milk and honey? I got almost spiritually upset when I read this, when he said this. Let me read this again. Moreover, thou hast not brought us out of unto a land that flowed with milk and honey, are given to us inheritance. Well, let me back up to the 13th verse. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us out of a land that flowed with milk and honey? No way in God's earth that Egypt was the land flowing with milk and honey when Pharaoh enslaved them, treat them with malice, took all the dignity from him, took the children, made them slave, took them and made them slave, had them made brick without straw. They doubled the punishment upon them, you see, because they put more work on them to cause them to be more submitted to them, to humble themselves before them, to break them down more and more. Slavery was designed to break them down and to break their spirits. But yet, there with the deception, they're calling Egypt the land of milk and honey. And you know it, and I know it, that Israel was not a place of milk and honey, but it was a place of misery and defeat and torture and broken spirits, bondage. And that's what Israel was. And that's how they were deceived here. And because Moses, they wouldn't take Moses' advice or Moses' direction, nor even Moses' correction. And a lot of people in the church like that today. They don't want to take direction. They don't want to take correction. They just want to do their own thing. And because they got their own mind, they're smart, you see. They got computer knowledge. And they don't need revelation no more. They got their own revelation of what they think is right. You see it? And their own reason. We're going to go into a point with thoughts and reason. We're going to deal with thoughts and reason for a while and show you what happened with thoughts, how Satan put reason into. So they had a reason. They coming up with a reason. See, rebellion is always, rebellion is always, I'm trying to get the right word. Rebellion is always led by reasoning. Reasoning is the element that Satan used to conform our minds to his way of doing things. So he'll give you a reason to rebel. He'll give you a reason to disagree. And let's look more into the scripture, and we're going to try to get into the notes and find out more and more what we're trying to say here. Now, I'm going to the 13th verse. Is it a small thing? 14th verse. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that flowed with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. We will not come up. Well, see, they had the argument was that Moses had not brought deliverance to them because they was in the wilderness. And they try to compare the wilderness to Egypt. There's no way the wilderness with any comparison to Egypt. And they were saying, Moses, you're not leading us to any land of milk and honey, not in this wilderness. They're going to begin to complain later on of the food they're eating and the children are going to die in the wilderness and all these things. And they couldn't see the plan of God. They couldn't see the hands of God. And because they didn't trust their spiritual leader, all right? Now, looking for inheritance. And Moses was very wroth. He got upset and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, each of you his censer. Well, he's letting them know that we're going to find out who's God's leader here. If you so much as God's chosen people, you take some censers, and Aaron's going to take some censers. And we're going to see. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense therein and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Now, glory comes for two reasons. Glory comes to overwhelm us with the divine presence, bring healing and health and prosperity and bring God's blessing. But glory also comes for another reason, I see in the scripture, to bring correction, to establish God's authority upon this earth. And the Lord spake, 20 verse, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, separate yourself from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Now, God at this moment, well, let's back up. When the Bible said the anger came upon Moses, Moses was just personifying God at that particular time. Moses' anger really was God's anger. And now God is looking to bring judgment upon the children of Israel. Now, over the whole congregation, now we're talking about one man, Moses, in a congregation of two and a half, three million people that came out of Israel, I came out of Egypt, that God delivered them to. Not God saying, I'm going to destroy the whole congregation. You see, because of his anger. And they wouldn't submit to Moses, and wouldn't submit to the plan that he gave Moses. And now Moses sees this, and Moses is standing between God and the people. Notice, I'm trying to create an image of what's happening here. The people stand before the door of the tabernacle, and Moses and Aaron standing between the people and God. God's glory filled the tabernacle. Moses in between the tabernacle and the people. And he stood between them as an intercessor before the people and God. Now watch this. Watch this. But God said, separate yourself. Get out the way, Moses, you and Aaron, from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their face and said, oh God, my goodness, what? I wish I had words to put here to rightly describe this moment here. But what devotion that God had. What devotion that Moses had to God and to the word that God spoke to them, to him, in the beginning. You see, Moses is going back to what God said in the beginning when God spoke to him with the burning bush, how he's going to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses is holding fast to what God said in the beginning. And he's bringing God back to remembrance of what God said in the beginning. But God's anger arose among the people. He said, let me consume these people in a moment. But Moses had God's divine word on it. And Moses fell upon their faces in defense of what God said in his word. My goodness. Moses stood with God's word, bringing God in remembrance of what he said. And that's the only basis Moses had to stand on, what God had said within the burning bush. Now, and they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and will thou be wroth with all the congregation? Wow. He pleading his case, you see it? As if God didn't know, God knew it. But that's why he loved Moses and trusted Moses so much. And Moses had held every word that God said. God said, Moses, you've been faithful. God said in the 12th chapter, Moses is faithful in all my house. God knew it. The character of Moses. You see, an ordinary person will just step out the way. If you were called, wasn't called, you were a hireling, you would step out the way to go ahead, Lord. Go ahead, Lord, destroy them all. But no, Moses walked in God's image at that particular time. Wow. And the Lord spake unto Moses, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from among about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Well, because of what Moses did and what Moses said, God honored Moses and what he said because God was hoping Moses would respond that way. See, sometimes God knows what you're going to do and God knows what you're going to do, but God wants to see your response. And God said, and God told Moses, to tell the people to get away from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto the Dathan and Abiram and the elders of the Israel that followed him. Dathan, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and the 250 of the renowned men that followed Korah. With their argument and their rebellion. You see, sometimes people get together, but they get together in ignorance, not really knowing God's authority, but taking wrong path, taking up the thoughts of this satanic nature of Satan and pursuing after their own mind and their own will. You see, Satan only wants your will. Once he got the will of Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and the 250 of the elders of the congregation, and change their mind and change their thoughts from the plan of Moses to their own thoughts and capture their will, then they will not turn from themselves. You see it? And now God got to judge their self-will and their rebellion. Rebellion is only self-will. You're doing what you want to do, doing what you think. That's why you got to be careful with self-will, what I want. Find out what God wants. And see, find out the will of God before you get captured you get your will captured by this spirit of rebellion. Now, I'm looking at the clock because I got some things I want to put up. And he's speaking to the congregation. And Moses rose, I'm going back to 25th verse. And Moses rose and went to the Dathan and the Abiram and the elders of Israel. I never started that. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. You see that? My goodness, I never saw that. The elders of Israel, they willfully followed him. My goodness. They followed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Wonder why they didn't separate themselves with the congregation. But they followed, you know, because their mind was corrupted. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tent of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sin. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little ones. My goodness. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. You see, and Moses is pleading his case before them and God. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord had not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that pertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked me. No, it didn't say that. They have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained to Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit. My goodness. I can hear the screaming and the hollering of the men, the women, and the children going down into Sheol. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that was round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, let the earth swallow us up also. And there came a fire from the Lord and consumed 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censer out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hollow. Now, that's enough reading. But if you go on, you're going to see at that day, 14,250 men died and perished during that day because they disobeyed the authority that was in Moses. Now, Claire, this is awesome. Let's go to my notes a little bit because I got to pull out some points that we're going to see here. I might rehash some things, but these are some things I need to get out so you can see and understand how serious of a matter this rebellion is. This corporate, collective rebellion is a dangerous thing. And when the ground clave open, my goodness, I can imagine those that were too close. You see, you can hang too close to rebellious people. Yeah, you don't have to say nothing sometimes. If you're too close, when that ground clave open, you're going in too. So separate yourself from rebellious people. Don't let them bring you into their conversation. Don't let them bring you into their way of reasoning, their thoughts, and their ideas about what they think authority should be saying or should be doing or should not be doing. Let God judge this like he did with Moses. And no, Moses didn't answer directly. He fell with faith before God and found out exactly what God wanted to do. That's why God chose Moses. Moses neither got angry, something with the people. He got angry about the whole situation, but God was angry also. Moses neither got angry nor lost his temper. He simply fell on his face before the Lord. That's one point. That's one qualification of delegate authority. Since authority belongs to the Lord, he did not try to defend his authority because he knew authority belonged to God. Never defend your authority. If you go further in the lesson, Brother Nee made a statement. He said, whenever you defend your own authority, you become subject to their authority. You see it? Now, you understand that better by and by. Whenever you try to defend yourself, then you got to answer the authority. Then you just submit yourself to them because now you're trying to answer to them. Like that, you're submitting yourself to them. So don't even answer your critics because you don't have to defend your critics. Let God be your defense. Don't be subject to your critics by answering them back. Now, thus did he answer the wrong spirit with a right spirit. What Korah and his party said was based on reason and conjecture. Moses, however, answered, Jehovah will show who are his and who is holy and will cause him to come near unto him. The question was not with Moses, but with the Lord. Remember that. This whole thing was not about Moses. What they really were questioning God, because God was following Moses. Moses said, we read the scripture, Moses said, I have not taken anything from you. He said, and I have not done anything of my own mind. I'm paraphrasing, but everything I've done was what God told me to do. And so Moses was letting them know that he was just following God the best he could. He hadn't put his own two cents, his own mind or own thoughts were not connected with the leading of the people, but it was directly a direction from God. All right? The people thought they were merely opposing Moses and Aaron. They had not the slightest intention of being rebellious to God, for they still wish to serve him. Now, that's a good point. Sometimes people in ignorance, all they see is the spiritual leader. All they see is the people that lead them and speaking to them and giving them direction, and they don't see the God behind these people because they've never understood authority. They think they're dealing with mere human beings. I'm talking about God's chosen authority. I'm talking about God's real authority. I'm not talking about someone that's doing something, not even in the will of God, because every leader is not God's leader. I need to clarify that. They got some leaders that even not even called to be leaders. They're not even qualified to lead. But I'm talking about those who God that genuinely put his hand and his anointing upon to lead people. You see it? Who got God's heart. Because just like there's true leaders, there are false leaders. And so you got to know, you see it? Like this thing about Jim Jones, you see? And see, Jim Jones was a leader, but he wasn't God's leader. He led the people astray. And you didn't have spiritual discernment. I think my little 12-year-old grandson had enough spirituality to know with this thing about Jim Jones, because you got enough of the Word of God. These people have no knowledge of the Word of God. They don't know the will of God. They don't know the plan of God that God led astray with this Jim Jones and other cult leaders as himself. But I'm talking about true leaders, you see? Because you don't put all leaders in the same box. I'm talking about those leaders that God has anointed and ordained. You see it? Them, you know. Paul said in a statement in 1 Thessalonians 5, I think. He said, know them that labor among you. Well, that could be positive or negative. Know them. Know them that labor among you. I want to know them. I want to know them spiritually. I want to know them in place that I want to know them with assurance. You see, that they're following God. And then once I know them, I can flow with them. You see, in alignment with the will and plan and purpose of God. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you know the Word of God, you will not be deceived by some false leader. Know the Word of God for yourself. Know the Spirit of God. I tell you what, you got the Word of God, Spirit of God, you cannot be deceived. And you will not be deceived. God will not let you be deceived. God will give you some vision. God will show you some kind of way of this deception. God will expose them before you if you love the Lord, the God with all your. So you don't have to fear being deceived. See, sometimes this lesson here, you know, in the wrong hands can make a person think they're supposed to submit to any authority. No, we're talking about those divinely set out by God. Those that God has instituted to be divine leaders and carry God's spirit and carry God's anointing upon them. Not just every leader. Yeah, not just every leader. When it comes to the world leaders, I follow them as long as they're following God. I will not them let me do anything contrary to following God. You see it? You see it? You see it? So you just got to be mindful when it comes to spiritual authority. You got to know authority, understand authority. And so make this lesson serious so you will know that you will not be deceived. But these people were deceived because they followed their own reasoning, their own will, and their own mind. Now, let me bring a couple more points. There's almost time for me to close. So they were merely scornful of Moses and Aaron, but God and the delegate authority are inseparable. My goodness, that is true. It is not possible to maintain one attitude toward God and another attitude toward his Moses and his Aaron, or your Moses and your Aaron. All right? No one can reject God's delegate authority with one hand and receive God with the other hand. If they will submit themselves to the authority of Moses and Aaron, they will then be in subjection to God. You see it? I'm reading pretty quickly now. Now, here's three things you need to know. And you need to mark these three things. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram failed to see the authority of the Lord in Moses. Remember these three things nobody gave you. Number one, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram failed to see the authority of the Lord in Moses. And that was their whole downfall. If they would recognize the authority of God with Moses, they would have no problem. But they did not even foresee that. They didn't even see it. And so they did not even recognize it. So therefore, they went after their own understanding, their own idea. Now, this number two said, Moses warned the congregation to separate themselves from Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. God called the earth to open and swallow them and their families up alive because of their rebellion. God's judgment caused it. We don't see it happen these days. We don't see it going on these days because of God's grace and mercy. You see it? But God still deal with rebellion. All right? Now, here's the last one here. Here's the last one. Is it possible to maintain one attitude toward God and another attitude toward Moses and Aaron? That's a yes or no. And the answer is no. It is not possible to maintain one attitude to God and another attitude toward Moses and Aaron. This, you should have the same attitude, and my time is up, between that you have toward God, and another, the same attitude toward his delegated authority, because they are inseparable. Class, my time is up. You've been in good class, and I'll see you next time. God bless you.